Have you been exploring your spirituality and learning more about yourself? And now you're ready to take bold, positive action. Are you seeking clarity about what is really blocking you from your greatest potential? Do you feel like you're so close to a breakthrough, but you can't figure out why you continue to feel stuck at the same level? Join us now for Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer, two transformational coaches who are eager to share all they've learned over the many years they've each been working with clients, helping them create the life they want. Joyce and Jennifer both have extensive, diverse backgrounds in the art of conscious transformation, and they are here to help you. So tune in now for the insight and tools you need to consciously live, work, and play, so that you can live the life you most deeply long to experience.
Well, welcome everyone. It's just me, Jennifer, this week. Joyce is traveling, and so I've invited two of my clients onto the show today to talk to us about their experiences with the coaching sessions. So as you know, I'm a transformational coach, consultant, and facilitator. And of course, I always say that the most important role I have is that of being a mom to two teenagers. But this week, we're going to be real casual. I'm going to have one client come on first, and then at the end of the first half hour, we'll have another one join. So our first guest is Petra. Welcome, Petra.
Thank you so much for having me, Jen. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm just so grateful. I have a very loud voice, so Petra's calling in, and she has a softer voice than I do anyway because she's much sweeter than I am. And so I've asked her to talk a little bit louder, so hopefully this is okay. Petra, are you comfortable with everything so far? Are you ready to roll?
I am comfortable. Just let me know if you can't hear me, and I'll talk louder because, you know, I'm always that calming voice.
Yes, you are, and I love it every time I'm around you. So I appreciate that. I also just really sincerely appreciate the fact that you're on the show because, as you know, the nature of coaching sessions is extremely private. It's very intimate. When I work with clients, we dig way deep down into lots of painful memories, current challenges, fears, inhibitions, aggravations, you name it. And so the fact that you are willing to share some of your story and your experiences with our listeners is really remarkable and valuable, and I cannot thank you enough for doing this.
I'm grateful to be a part of it. I just know that I'm put on this planet to help others, and I've been doing it all my life, and this is just another step towards that.
Good. Awesome. So let's get down to it. I'm going to let you start off and give us a little bit of a background. We knew each other before you started coaching, but we have not been coaching long. So the guest in the second half hour has been working with me for a much longer period of time. So I wanted to be able to share with listeners the diversity of experiences depending on how long you've been in it. And so can you share with our listeners, just tell us, where were you when you reached out to me for coaching, and why did you decide to engage in this process?
I guess I was at my bottom 6 months ago. I thought I had all of my stuff together. I was very successful at work for 20 years. I've been doing the same thing for different companies, but I was successful at work. I made six figures. My clients loved me. My team loved me. My bosses loved me. It was what, to the outside world, a perfect life. Had great marriage, two great kids. People would look at us and say, "Oh my God, that marriage is so wonderful. I want to have an experience like the two of you do." And you would think I had the whole package, but I was totally miserable at work, and it was a pattern that I didn't see until I started sitting with you. I was always successful at work and making a lot of money, but I hated what I did. And for a brief period of time, I had a great boss and everything was wonderful. But then the universe just decided, no, this is not what she's supposed to do. So let's move her boss. And then I'd end up having a boss that was totally incompetent. And I would have to train that person. And I would have to be the liaison between peers and the new boss. And I'm like, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep having to train my boss and they make more money than me? And then I have to And I ended up being really miserable. And I didn't realize that that was projecting in my married life. And what I thought was a great marriage ended up being my husband telling me, you've been kind of miserable and you're unhappy and I don't want this marriage anymore. I'm giving you a way out. And I didn't even know I needed a way out. So I came to you at the bottom of, I guess, the cup being totally not either half full or half empty. It was totally empty because I thought I had the package. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. And apparently I wasn't.
Okay. So by the way, Petra, you are a little quiet and you kind of go in and out. So I just want to make sure that you're talking right into the phone so listeners can hear. But I do want to quickly give kind of a general overview of what you just said, because I think it's very powerful. And I also think that your story embodies many stories of others, even if the details are different, right? So basically what you're saying to me is when you came to me, you felt bottomed out. You had had this remarkable, seemingly successful life on the outside, on the surface. Everyone deemed you successful. You had a great long-term marriage, family. You had a fantastic career. Everything looked perfect on the surface. But underneath the surface, you were miserable or becoming miserable over time until you hit this bottomed out part. And so it came to a head, is what you're saying. It kind of climaxed when the husband came to you and said, okay, I'm giving you a way out, meaning, do you want to end this marriage? And that's basically was the final straw that made you pick up the phone and say, I need some answers here. Is that right?
Exactly. Okay. I thought I was doing everything right. You always hear about people who really don't like their job, but like this now was affecting every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
So I came to you to help me figure out what the heck is going on. I thought I was doing pretty good.
Yeah. And so when you came in, what were your expectations? What were your goals? What was in your head for this process?
I needed help trying to figure out what I was doing wrong because, like I said, to the outside world, I was the total package. But inside, I was not happy. Like, I hated Sundays. I hated getting up in the morning to go to work. Like, I was the most positive person to everybody around me, all my clients, my peers, my associates, everybody, except for me and my husband, I guess. So I needed to figure out what was causing that. What was I doing that I needed to do differently? And I didn't know where to begin. So I studied all of the universal laws, project and be positive and do my visions and my visionary board, but apparently something wasn't connecting. So I came to you to figure out what was missing.
And what did you learn when you came?
I was not taking care of me. I was taking care of everybody else but me. And you know, you listen to that, get on the plane and put your air mask on first before you help others. But I really wasn't listening to that. I really just did not pay attention to myself for a couple of years, and it showed.
And why do you think that is?
I'm a mother, and I'm a wife, and we are conditioned in this life to take care and nurture others, but no one ever tells you when you're a child that you have to nurture yourself.
Right. Right. There's just this expectation about mothers, right? Yeah. The dinner is just on the table. Like, how does that happen? The clothes are just washed and put away. How does that happen? It's also magic. Yeah. And so by the time we as working mothers are finished with our work day and we come home and we do the dinner and the laundry and the dishes and all these things and before our children are old enough to pitch in, I should add, because if they are old enough, they should be pitching in. I hope my children are listening. Oh, darn, they're in school.
No, they're in school.
But my point being that it's very, very easy for a working mother to fall into this pitfall. It's extremely easy. And so do you feel like you just really had to hit rock bottom before you were even willing to hear that message?
Well, I feel like because I'm, you know, wife and mother, and you know, my husband was an entrepreneur, and I was the steady paycheck. Like, I felt like I could not. I had that fear of stepping out and doing what I wanted to do because I was the stable person. You know, I was the one that was keeping it together, but I wasn't keeping it together. So I had fear of doing anything different. So not only did I not take care of myself, I also had fear that if I did do something different, it may be detrimental. You know, the fear of the unknown. I'm the type A personality, so I have to have the strategic plan. I have to have all the steps that's going to get me to the goal. And, you know, you really have to step out on faith is what I learned from our sessions. And I really didn't have that faith. I had my type A personality. Do step 1, 2, and 3, and that'll get you the result that you wanted. And so I had to learn how to first take care of me and then step out on faith and forget the fear of not knowing what's going to happen next.
Yeah. So I just want to back up and clarify a couple of things, because you're painting a picture of yourself rather negatively. And you probably don't know you're doing it. Just saying, I didn't have it together and you know, all these things. And I just want to clarify a couple of things. One, you are a phenomenal person. I've known you longer than I've been coaching you. And you have such strong character, integrity. You genuinely care for others. You're a phenomenal mother. And I'm not married to you, so I can't say wife, but... But as you say, everyone loves you. Everyone knows this about you. So the differentiator here is not that there's something wrong with you and not that you're doing anything wrong, okay? It's just that what you were doing was not in your best interest and you were coming up empty. So I want to talk a little bit more about this, and I want to get into the transformational aspects of what you've learned and what you did with all of this when we come back from this break. All right. Thanks for listening. Okay.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you or someone you love ever experienced a major loss? The kind of loss so cataclysmic that it divided life into before and after? The death of a beloved person or pet, the loss of a job, a health challenge, can leave us feeling empty, lost, alone, wondering if we'll ever feel joy again. Loss is universal. Grief is part of the human condition. But in our modern world, we've lost the ability to understand, share, and integrate our grief. We're expected to grieve privately and quickly get over it. This November 3rd through 5th, the Atlanta Grief and Loss Center will be hosting a retreat that will allow you to fully feel, integrate, and catalyze your grief. Our retreat is called Heartbroken Open, Grief as a Sacred Path to Renewal and Rebirth. If you are grieving, or if you work with clients who are grieving, you'll find more information about this powerful retreat at atlantagriefandlosscenter.com/retreats or call 404-881-1322.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, so we're back with my client Petra, who is generously sharing her story, why she came for transformational coaching and what came of it. And so I wanted to pick up where we left off just to make this note that there's nothing wrong with you, just like there's nothing wrong with any client that comes to me. I think in the 15 years I've been doing this, I have only referred two people to a psychotherapist. And that is when I believed that their issues were more clinical and needed treatment. And even then, there was nothing wrong with them, right? Even our mental health is just another part of our physical health and needs attention. So I clarify that for listeners out there who may be struggling and may want to transform their life or a particular situation in their lives and feel just completely bottomed out and worthless, right? Because the experiences when they get bad enough can make us feel that way. But that is not the reality. It's just really comes down to what Petra's talking about, and she wasn't honoring herself. So let's talk a little bit more about that, Petra.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I looked like I had the package deal. Everything was, I thought, right. I just didn't feel like I was honoring myself, doing the right thing, doing something that was going to make me happy. I was doing what corporate America wanted me to do. Not mm-hmm. what I wanted to do. And so I uncovered that through our sessions when, you know, you would give me homework and I'd go home and start reflecting. And this is where I uncovered my fear of changing, of doing something outside of corporate America, because I just wanted that. I've been so used to that stability that changing was scary. Didn't know if I was going to be able to do that and still make six figures and live the life that I've been accustomed to. So the transformation it's hard. it's hard to change 20 years of corporate America thinking, but the end result, if you're open to change, is a much happier Petra.
So can we talk about that a little bit, about the process? You know, you say it's hard, and it's certainly is not easy. I try to provide steps that are very clear and simple to understand, but simple does not mean it's easy. And so can you tell us, can you take us into a little bit more depth with what transformation feels like? Why, what makes it hard specifically?
What makes it hard? Fear and the unknown, not knowing what the end result's going to be. I'm, like I said, I'm type A personality. I need to know I'm going to do step A, B, and C, and I'm having great results. Or if step B and C doesn't work, I'm going to have to change it and get a different to get the result. When I just go out there and take care of myself, I don't understand what that's going to do. So, yeah, I'm going to take time out of my day, and I'm going to honor myself and go get you know, one of my favorite things to do, and this is a little personal, is to get Brazilian. And what is that going to do for me? It's like, I can't fathom what that's going to change in my life. But when I actually go out and do it, and I'm open to seeing what the universe is going to bring to me, it's totally transforming. And I'll give you the backdrop to this. I've been going to this place for 8 years, and I never noticed, because I was so closed off, I guess, that their design, their brand has a butterfly. When you walk into the office, there's a big picture of like 3 or 4 butterflies. Many years ago, when my mom passed away, I went to see a psychic, and she told me that whenever I was going through something, if I needed to talk to my mom, ask a question, a butterfly will appear, and that will be my mom talking to me. Again, I go to this Brazilian place for 8 years, never noticed that there was a butterfly there, never noticed that there was a butterfly in their logo. But that particular day where I was having such a hard time, you told me, go do something for yourself. Do something, anything. So I picked up the phone, made an appointment, walked in, and there was the butterfly telling me that everything was going to be okay. And when I was driving home, I actually got a deal. A customer called me, and I made a deal. I made a sale.
Yeah. So I often laugh about my process, not to minimize the intensity or the severity or the seriousness of people's situation, but, you know, the universe really is magical. I've come to believe that over the course of all these years I've been doing this. And it's when I work with clients, I see miracles happen all the time. You know, it's not just reserved for biblical stories. It's a miracle is by definition something that defies anything that we believe in, anything that is possible. And I often have clients that come in and talk about what they really want and then follow it up with, but that's impossible. It's not possible. It can't. And here's all the reasons why. And they'll have a good litany. I mean, 25 reasons why this thing isn't possible or this experience. And I get to watch that transformation. And it's so gratifying that it moves me to tears often. And so one of the things that you're touching on that I work with clients on is just understanding cause and effect. When you sign up to do this kind of work, you're basically putting an intention out there into the stratosphere, and you are saying, I intend to create this better life. I intend to move through this horrible situation. I intend to be a better version of myself. I intend to honor myself. Whatever that intention is coming into it, the universe is listening, and it's responding. And every time you step into faith, every time you honor that intention and you move through your fear and take action to honor yourself or to step into faith, the universe will absolutely give you what I refer to as a reward for that. But really what it is it's a reflection of it. It's saying, high five, kudos, way to go, look at this. And so what I ask clients to do when they're paralyzed by fear is just study cause and effect, right? Your brain needs new data. Your brain has downloaded many years of beliefs that have led you to this experience. So now for us to upload a different belief system, that's a pretty tall order. We got to take it in incremental steps, and we've got to look at cause and effect. So what you just described, Petra, was I was on a really bad day, and of all days, you probably didn't want to spend the money or treat yourself because it was bad day, but that was exactly when you needed to do it. And not only did you get the sign from the universe that your mother was, you know, there and hugging you probably, but you also then got a sale out of the blue. You didn't have to pound the pavement. You weren't chasing it down. It came to you gracefully and effortlessly because you put you first. That is the universe responding to you. That is the type of experience I see in clients all the time. So I didn't mean to cut your story short. I just really had to emphasize that point because it's such a big one for people when they're going through this process.
And that's the hard part. That's the actual hard part for someone who is type A personality and needs to have a strategic plan to just step out on faith and do something. Like you said, do that little bit of cause to see that positive effect.
Right. And what can you describe for listeners? What is the belief system that makes that so hard? What is screaming inside your head saying, don't do it? Why can't you do this?
You know, a part of it is I'm the mom and the wife, and you know, there's a budget that we have. So do I spend X amount of money on getting a mani-pedi or getting a Brazilian, or do I spend X amount of money and get groceries or, you know, get tutoring for my child? It's that nurturing. I have to take care of my family that is ingrained in my brain, but I need to change and say, no, I have to take care of me so I can take care of my family.
Right. And I want to add to that too, if you don't mind, because I do think that there is a common belief system that many people have that cause cultural beliefs and then cultures in general, and both in the workplace and in our communities. And so the thing that you're tapping into, a lot of times people will say, well, that's right, Petra, you should have money for groceries before you go get a mani-pedi. Absolutely, right? I mean, we would all agree that fundamentally, yes, meet your basic needs first. So when you suggest to do these cause and effect exercises, or as I suggest to do these cause and effect exercises, then oftentimes the brain absolutely rebels immediately and says, that is absolutely irresponsible. That is financially irresponsible. What are you thinking? Oh my gosh, who are you that you think this, you know, and these ugly, really ugly judgmental voices come up inside our own heads, much less in the heads of others around us who are quick to judge. Right. So, this message is not to say, everyone, go have a free-for-all, go have a party, go be financially irresponsible. And I just want to clarify that. That's not the message. The message is, take the action, whatever that action is, that forces you through your fear into faith, and you will get a positive reaction from that. So look at that. You spent a little bit of money to splurge on yourself when you were really feeling low. It's not like you went out and did a $5,000 vacation at the beach. You
right, right.
went to the spa and did a very moderately priced service. And what did you get? You got a new client. Now, is that new? Okay. If you look at the spa service compared to what the client's bringing in, which one's really going to pay your groceries, right? I mean, and so again, the message isn't go be financially irresponsible. The message is all about the intention. What is the motive behind the action? It will determine the outcome. And if you're not on top of your game, your own mental game, and you just start to rebel and just start spending money just like feverishly and just going all the way to the other extreme, you're not going to get good results because your intentions are not pure. Spending your money frivolously is not honoring yourself any more than withholding a spa service when you're feeling completely depleted. So it's not about the action. It's never about the action. The action is unique to each individual based on where they are and what level of fear they have to push through. So I just want to clarify that. We're going to go to another break. When we get back, Petra, you're welcome to stay with us. We're going to have another guest, Mike, joining us for the second half. Thanks so much.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Depleted by the rat race? Depressed by the attitudes of the human race? The book Honor explains why and how to transform your life from confusion and heartache to one that you most authentically desire. Join Om Times radio host Jennifer McKenna Weinbaum as she takes you on her journey from her darkest period to her happiest and healthiest life. Entertaining, enlightening, Honor will help you find and maintain the love and light in your own life. Visit www.universalabundance.com to pre-order your copy.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Listen, my life changed because someone was there to get me to use drugs. No one can understand. People think that having someone who will listen makes it better. I need help.
I'm listening.
I need help. I think that having someone who will listen makes it better. People understand. No one can get me to use drugs. My life changed because someone was there to listen.
Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to turn addiction around. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. For those of you who are just joining, it's just Jennifer today. Joyce is traveling, and I've asked two guests to come on who have been clients of mine. They've gone through transformational coaching. So in the first half of the hour, we listened to Petra tell her story, and we so deeply appreciate that. Petra, I don't know if you're still with us.
I am.
All right. So you jump in whenever you feel comfortable. And now we have Mike joining us. Mike has been a coaching client for longer than Petra, so he's going to give a broader perspective to this whole transformational concept. And so, Mike, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jennifer. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thank you. I was saying to our listeners before that I really appreciate, I do know that the nature of our conversations and our coaching sessions is very intimate, very personal. And so I do appreciate your willingness to come on and share your experience with listeners because it's extremely valuable. So,
my pleasure.
Yes. So I'm going to take you a little bit through the same questions that I asked Petra, but I feel confident you will have another perspective to add to the mix, which will be just as valuable. So can you just tell us where you were when you reached out and called me to engage in coaching services?
Yeah. So, it started, I was at a Christmas party, and a friend of mine who had been working with you previously, I kind of had this idea in my mind that I felt like, I passed my 30s, and life was just kind of driving me. And I was just kind of existing and taking every day as it came, but with really no direction. Like, I felt like I had direction, but I really didn't. But I literally sat down. I remember the first meeting, you said, why am I here? And I said, I don't know, but I feel that I want to grab control of this life and send it in the direction that I want it to go into rather than it driving the direction. Cause the direction it was going, not that it was horrible, but it could have been better. It was definitely kind of like extending my mid-20s out into my 30s, which is always great, but time to reel it in at that point. And, that's really what started it. It was more, I wanted to take ownership of my life. And I wanted to set the course for a course of success and happiness. And when I looked around me, I had things, but I didn't have happiness. And that's what I wanted to find was really, really true happiness.
And how long ago was that?
I think that was 6 years ago.
Okay. So you're in your 40s now, right, Mike?
Almost.
Okay. All right. So am I that much older than you? I did not realize. Okay. So when you came, you were in a very different place than where you are now. And you've been through quite a journey in that time together with me. And so for you to give a perspective on what has transpired since then? What were the peaks and valleys? What does transformation mean to you today compared to what it meant to you when you first started? Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So transformation for me, and it's a constant work in progress, right? I'm never there. But it had a lot to do with understanding why I felt the way I did, why I was the way I was, why I acted the way I did. And a lot of it had to do with just the way I was brought up and just all these things that wired me in this way that I thought the way life had to be this certain way. And I was kind of subconsciously building my life to be that. In fact, it's really not a great life to build. So what I've learned over time is that I control that destiny. I control the outcome. I control my entire life. And but a big part of that is taking ownership and what's wrong and constantly seeking to make yourself better and constantly seeking to understand why you have these things or, if there's a negative thing that you have or a negative way that you are and you don't like it, self-awareness is the first part. But then you got to really, really dig in deep to find out why you are that way, why you feel that way, why you act that way. And a lot of that has to do with really going deep below the surface and a lot deeper than you think you have to go. Because these things are, wired in us and the way we are as kids. And I mean, the situation I'm going through right now, a lot of around why I think that should be that way is because the way I was brought up and what I was around and my parents and all that. So it's crazy how much your growing up and all that affects you as an adult. And unless you can go in and identify where those come from and why they exist and spend the time and work through it, you won't get any better. And so I'm in a place now where there's things that I'm constantly working on. There's things that I've identified 6 years ago that I continue to work on, but there's also new things that pop up. So I think the first step is having the awareness in what it is that I want to change about myself and then understanding where it comes from and then really going deep into there and soul searching on, okay, why is this way? Because if you can take it out, like you said it before, if you can kind of take it out and make it a tangible thing, like take your fear, call it out for what it is, then it no longer becomes the emotional part. Then you just know, okay, that's what it is. I can work on it. So it's just been an evolution of learning myself, learning how to better myself, but do it effectively, but also understanding that there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong. No one's wrong. It's just the way you are. And really figuring out how to get in there and work through those issues is really, really what I've learned and from where I was before to where I am now.
Yeah. And Peter, do you have anything to add to that? Not to put you on the spot, but I just want to make sure if you do want to add anything, that you have the air to do that.
I do. It's pretty amazing how you hear that cliche, you know, you're going to therapy because of the way your mom and dad raised you. It's so true. It's not that they do anything intentional. It's just what you see, what you're accustomed to, what your culture is, what you think is what's best for you may not be. It's just that's the normal for you because you don't know anything different until you get older and you see, no, this is not how my life is supposed to be. This is not how I want it to be. This is not making me happy. It may have made my mom and dad happy, but it's not making me happy.
Right. Such a good point. And you both have touched on things that are, I think, very relevant to many, many people. You know, one of the things that I've often wondered is if one of the points of family is to teach us as human beings to learn how to love unconditionally, because we end up in dynamics that challenge us on the certain fundamental levels from what we are taught about who we should be versus who we really are. And how those two belief systems can come in conflict, and especially when we hit midlife in the 30s and the 40s, and then even for some in the 50s, when we start to grapple with those differences and what do we do with them. And so, you know, the point is really to learn how to love oneself unconditionally through that process. And so in retrospect now, Mike, looking back over all of that and those experiences and what you've learned and the tools, what would you say is one of the most valuable takeaways, whether it was a lesson you learned or a tool you've used? Can you share any of that?
Yeah, it's so many things. I would say first, it's kind of own your stuff. So that's the first step, understanding, identifying what it is and owning it, having the ownership to say, okay, this is my problem. This isn't everybody else's problem. This is my problem. And the only way it's going to get better is if I work on it. But before even that, like, you have to be in a place that you're like, okay, I want to do this. You have to want it. You have to want to make changes, because just kind of going to people or even hiring anybody to help you through this stuff doesn't work unless you're committed to making it work. No one's going to fix it for you. You know, that's been the beauty of working with you, is you don't fix things for me. You give me guidance and you bring out things that I don't even know about myself. And then when you bring them out, it becomes a tangible thing that I can see and feel. And then I'm able to handle it. So just being able to own up to whatever it is that you need to work on, not blaming other people for it. And treating yourself, like taking care of yourself first, because that's the only one who's going to take care. The only person going to take care of you is you. And that's where kind of I see the evolution come from, is that at the end of the day, the only thing you can control is yourself. And if you want to change and you want to do something different and you're happy with something, take the step, take one step, do one thing to make it different. That's it. It doesn't have to be boiling the ocean. It's not going to change overnight. We still talk about things today that we talked about 6 years ago. So it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a sprint. It's constant caring. There are years and years. I'm 38 years old. I have 38 years of stuff I have to work through. And I'm doing stuff now that I'm going to have to work through 10 years from now. So it's having the self-awareness of understanding that we're not perfect, but if we want to get better, we have to own it. and we have to want to change it, and we have to take the steps to do it. No one else is going to do it.
Right, right. And so on a less serious note, I just want to apologize because for whatever reason, I thought somewhere along those 6 years, we celebrated your 40th birthday. So that is my apology. And
we got to rewire that.
We got to rewire that, honey, because it's I'll tell you why, because my birthday is tomorrow and I am turning 48 and I am in denial. And so somebody's got to work me through my stuff. I'm kidding.
Denial is a river in Africa.
I'm totally kidding, but I am sensitive to age today, so I'm not kidding all the way, I guess. Anyway, I think you make such a good point there in that this is definitely not a sprint. I mean, I look back on my life and I think I truly have transformed my life over the course of many years. But it takes stopping and looking back and saying, whoa. Who was that chick in her 20s who was drinking hardcore liquor and smoking cigarettes like a chimney and pulling all-nighters at school and not taking care of herself at all? Well, it was the girl who ran into a brick wall with that eventually. And so I've had to learn through my health, through my body, multiple times in my life, I've had to learn how to take care of myself. And not be self-abusive, because that's basically what I was being. And so certainly that was not a sprint. But can you look back on the 6 years and say, yeah, life is still showing me where I am in that journey of self-love, but at the same time, look at what I've done. Look where my mindset is. Look what I've done with my belief system. Can you attest to that at all after 6 years of this?
100%. So kind of just full kimono, right? You know, I'm in the middle of going through a divorce right now. I'm a month into it. And being able to at least even have this conversation and being in the place that I am has everything to do with the work that I've done over the years. So you may not see the immediate results, but everybody that I talk to about what's going on, they're like, God, you're in such a good place with this. And it's because I had to come to the realization that there's nothing I can control about it. It is what it is. And the only person that I can control and make better is myself. So when you start focusing that negative energy on that situation and focusing on yourself, it becomes better.
Yes. And I wanna pick that back up after the break. So stay with us.
Will do.
Best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and thanks for sticking around. In this last quarter of the hour, we have Mike and Petra, two of my coaching clients, who are sharing their experiences with their own life's journey and challenges and fears and so forth. And so, Mike, you were touching on such a really powerful point before we went to break, and that is that you're going through currently, as you say in full disclosure, you're going through a divorce currently, and which is one of the most traumatic situations an adult can experience. I think that when I went through mine many years ago, my mother said she read an article somewhere that said that divorce is number two in terms of painful experiences next to the death of a loved one. So it is a very trying time. And you were saying that through the work that we've done together, you've had a lot of people around you actually comment on how well you're moving through this experience. Can you talk to us about why you think that is and what you are doing to keep yourself kind of above water, so to speak, in terms of your mental health and your happiness as you're going through a really very challenging time?
Yeah. So I guess the first part is what are people seeing? Where am I at with it? That's making people comment on kind of where I am. So it's clear to me just in the work we've done and just the soul searching I've done is you have to accept people for who they are, including yourself. And you can't will a want. You can't want someone to want something. And as much as we want to do that, you can't. So if you can get the clarity around, going through my divorce, I can get the clarity around why it isn't working, why it's not going to work. And it's tough to say it. Trust me, I spent many a morning bawling my eyes out for hours on end, but that was the grieving process I had to go through. But I also came to a realization of why it wasn't going to work.